Welcome to the 369th episode of the Reading and Writing Podcast. Stay tuned for my interview with August Norman, author of the novel Sins of the Mother. Stay tuned for the interview. The Reading and Writing Podcast is brought to you by Libro FM. Libro.fm lets you purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore. You can pick from more than 185,000 audiobooks, including bestsellers and recommendations from booksellers. You'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company out there, but you'll be part of a different story. One that supports your local community and your local bookstore. If you're new to audiobooks, they're the perfect way to get more books into your busy life. You can listen during your commute, while doing chores, walking the dog, or just relaxing at home. All you need is a smartphone and the free Libro.fm app. If you already love audiobooks and don't know what to listen to next, check out recommendations and curated lists from people who know audiobooks best, your local bookseller. Here's your special offer from the Reading and Writing Podcast. Get two audiobooks for the price of one today with your first month of membership with the code RWPODCAST at checkout. This offer is only valid for new members in Canada and the U.S. Check out Libro.fm today. Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. My guest today is August Norman, author of the new novel Sins of the Mother, the second book featuring the lead character, Caitlin Bergman. August, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, Jeff. Excited to be here.
Great. Well, if someone listening hasn't heard about your novel, Sins of the Mother, yet, how would you describe the novel?
This is the second novel in a series, but you don't really need to know that. It follows Caitlin Bergman, a female investigative journalist who's a Los Angeles native, who grew up the only daughter of a mostly single cop. And out of the blue, she gets a call. And this is a woman in her mid-40s, but out of the blue, she gets a call saying that a sheriff in a small town in Oregon has found a body which they believe to be her birth mother. Now, Caitlin has a complicated history with her birth mother. That is, she knows she was put up for adoption, and the woman tried to contact her once in her life, but she sort of resented this woman her whole life. So she goes up to Oregon to find not only was this woman possibly member of a cult, a doomsday cult, but that she also may have been harboring a runaway daughter of a white supremacist organization in the area. So it's an exploration of family, all within the guise of a thriller set amidst a cult of a religion I built myself.
And so do you remember the original idea that led you to write Sins of the Mother?
Well, yeah, my wife and I recently began our own family, and there was some planning and a lot of introspection on that end. And we were very much talking about what makes good parents, what we think makes good family, and the idea of the families you choose versus the families that you're born into. And I was definitely thinking a lot about family. And having established Caitlin's family in the previous book, Come and Get Me, not that you would need to read that book in order to appreciate Sins of the Mother, but I knew I was already playing with some factors, which included the fact that she never knew her birth mother. On the other side, I've definitely been, maybe it's the state of the world as we know it, but I've been very bothered by the concept of cognitive dissonance. So that is, how do people believe something even after it's been proven demonstrably false, such as flat earthers? You know, you can use simple geometry to prove that the earth is round, let alone your eyes. But, you know, there's still people who believe things like that. So, of course, that takes you to the world of cults. Extreme religious organization that causes people to do things that are detrimental to their own survival in the name of others. And again, the research of all that kind of, it still hits home that that's just a different type of family. So the two worlds coming together was really what I wanted to explore.
And so what are your earliest memories of reading in books?
Well, for the, they're definitely Hardy Boys, Nancy Drew, Sherlock Holmes, the complete unabridged Sherlock Holmes tome was one of the first books my grandmother gave me. And I mean, I'm not going to lie. Before that, there was Richard Scarry and Where the Wild Things Are and all the, you know, Busy Town books. So my mom was a teacher. I read nonstop from an early age. And so I mostly discovered things through mystery, though, and crime fiction, mostly because also beyond the reading, my family's TV watching tended to be, you know, 1 hour mysteries such as from all ranges. You know, we had your Jessica Fletcher, Murder, She Wrote, your Magnum P.I.s, your Fall Guy, your Hardcastle and McCormick. So I really enjoyed that world of crime fiction, whether it was on TV or in books. And so as I matured, and don't get me wrong, I mean, I definitely tried to read a lot of the classics as well as tried. I mean, I had a huge choose your own adventure phase. But the books that seemed to call out to me, especially in my teens, were Stephen King books, as well as Tom Clancy. And that was sort of it for a while until after college.
And so beyond those early books and that early interest in reading, what was your path to writing? What led you to writing your first novel, Come and Get Me? And had you written earlier novels or short stories?
I had always written from, say, middle school on and through high school. I'd always done a fair amount of creative writing and journaling, though I was never focused in that direction. When I went to somewhere in a landfill in Indiana, there is a spiral notebook with the beginnings of my first attempt at a thriller novel. And my handwriting's so bad that I'm sure no one could make sense of it anyway. Luckily, no one will ever find that. When I went through college, I studied playwriting and screenwriting and journalism. And so I moved to Hollywood when I was 22 with the idea that I might be an actor, I might be in a rock band, I might be a screenwriter. And that world sort of all came together. So I hadn't really played with like the novel or the short story much at that point. Somewhere in my 20s, I was doing a lot of short films at the time with friends, and I had a director friend who pitched me the idea of a murder mystery, essentially. And I said, yes, I love this genre. I've always wanted to write something. So I fleshed out a whole screenplay with some characters I loved, and I gave it to him. And he's like, nah, it's not what I was thinking. I'm like, well, I love this so much that I'm going to try to novelize it. So, and that was probably not until my 30s. And so I started trying to do that. I novelized that screenplay, and it's out there. It's and what I did at that time was I'm like, well, I don't know anything about the genre. I mean, since college, I definitely picked up all of Raymond Chandler and Dashiell Hammett, and I'd gone back and discovered Ross McDonald, you know, Walter Mosley. I'd gone Laurie Arkin. I definitely started reading, but I hadn't really read in the modern genre. So I started going to used bookstores, and I would just find out which authors had the most titles. And I would start picking them. And if I liked them, I'd read, try to find the first in a series, and then I'd read the entire series. I definitely read something like 52 books in that first year, where I was really trying to understand the current genre. And that included a lot of Robert Craze, Harlan Coben, Jeffrey Deaver, Kathy Reichs, Karen Slaughter. I'm trying to think of, and so I really became a voracious reader then. It wasn't until I'd written a novel that I'm like, well, I don't really know anything about this world. And so that's when my reading really kicked up. And I still read at that pace. I read a fair amount. And so that first final novel, I probably finished that in 2007. However, then I started really refining it and learning about the industry, learning about the craft. You know, beyond showing it to family members, I started going to writers' conferences. So I adopted the Santa Barbara Writers Conference. It was near Los Angeles, and they had agent pitch meetings. And then I sort of found my tribe there, as you might say. And so I learned where I was in the market, but that was one of the wonderful things about any conference that has, say, read and critique or an MFA program, if you happen to have that. But if that idea of, like, you can hear where everyone is in their level of expertise and skill, and you can kind of judge yourself realistically. So not only did I meet a lot of mentors, but I also got a good sense of how I was doing. And so that first novel, which was based on that screenplay originally, actually did include the character Caitlin Bergman, however, in a supporting role. And that novel went out eventually after almost 10 years of from initial screenplay to when it was finally ready for the market. I'm sure the two versions are almost, you know, not recognizable if you put them side by side. But that went out with an agent. I had an agent. We went out with that novel for a bit. And then a lot of life happened. And I ended up with another agent. and he also took out that novel. And we got some wonderful rejections. But in the meantime, I had started this idea for Come and Get Me, the first Caitlin Bergman novel. And I said, hold off. Let's not, you know, dilute the waters anymore. I think this other novel will be much stronger and much better for the market, as well as just a better piece of art. And so the success of that led to the first Caitlin Bergman novel being sold, Come and Get Me, as well as the follow-up novel, Sins of the Mother.
Great. Well, I know that you mentioned that you were in L.A. and that you were doing short films. I'm curious, in terms of your screenwriting, did you ever work in the industry and work on either TV or any...
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Features.
I've definitely worked as an actor in the industry, as mm-hmm. well as I still do a fair amount of stage comedy, that is improv and sketch comedy. I was very much one of those writers who had a stack of screenplays he never showed anybody. I had some writing partners. We were hip pocketed at various agencies, and you know, we were pitched fairly often. But I had a fear of rejection that somehow stopped me from trying. And sure. And so I may have had, like, say, 10 screenplays, and somebody would be like, well, did you get an agent? And they're like, I didn't really try. you know, like, well, has anyone seen these screenplays? They're like, no, but I'm just doing it. So it wasn't until the novel that I wanted to go 100% at it. I'd written commercials and stuff that have aired, and I'd been in a lot of commercials and various things. But again, it wasn't until the novel where I really pushed that professional envelope.
So the screenplays, were those genre, thrillers, mysteries?
A lot of comedy, actually. I came up through comedy, and my wife as well. And I was in a lot of sketch comedy groups. There was a lot of, like, oh, are we going to pitch for SNL or Mad TV? You know, that kind of stuff. So, it was much more comedic. It wasn't really until that particular screenplay where I shifted off by myself into a much more serious, there's definitely comedy throughout my writing, but into a much more serious tone.
Sure. Well, you mentioned earlier that a big plot element in Sins of the Mother is this cult. I'm wondering, what kind of research did you do into cults, and did you perhaps talk to anyone face to face who had maybe left a cult?
Yes and yes. The answer is we went real heavy into documentaries, of course. Now, above all times, there are more access to fascinating documentaries without leaving the house, as well as several memoirs and studies based on, you know, cults and fringe religions. So, yeah, I had a fairly decent research phase. And the cult that I've created, the Daughters of God, is the combination of about five real extreme religious organizations, which I will not name because some of them are active currently and are very litigious. But you asked about survivors. I, being in Hollywood, you do meet people who have joined, say, one major name brand that they would argue is not a cult, and other people would. And I've definitely spoken to people I've seen parts of the industry affected by that. And that was a factor, but not necessarily the driving factor. And then, yes, I was familiar through a writer's conference with at least one survivor who had written a memoir as well. And so, I should say that I'm writing about this and almost talking about it with a bit of fun, but that world is a horribly destructive world that leaves, if people are able to survive financially and come out the other side, they still might face a lifetime of therapy and the attempt to mentally reprogram themselves so that they don't end up committing suicide or just spending their lifetime on horrible depression.
Got it. So I'm curious, how does writing a novel differ from the mini screenplays that you wrote? And how did your experience writing those screenplays impact you as you started working on novels?
I'll start with how they impacted me. The great thing about a screenplay is it ends up being about 100-page outline with dialogue for a novel. That is, you know your plot. You've established the story, but you've actually outlined a plot, which means, in this scene, this happens, this, and just linear, it goes down the line. So that if you were to use that, it's just like the world's best outline. So obviously novelists and short story writers know one of the strengths of fiction is that ability to internalize. In a screenplay, you're not allowed to say what the character is thinking. You have to show it in action. So while that's very important, that ability to show and, of course, not tell, one of the notes I was constantly given was like, go into their head a little more. Really, you can go ahead and say what they're thinking. Like, so that freedom to really get into, I write in a third person, a limited point of view. So I'm not all over the place, but still that ability to play with internal monologue and to know when and where to turn it off, that's been a lot of fun. And that's what I love about novel length fiction.
Sure. Well, I know as you mentioned earlier of going to various writers' conferences and doing many rewrites on your first novel, I'm curious, when you started devoting yourself to writing novels, were there things that you had to work on or learn or hone, whether it was characterization, dialogue, plotting, or setting?
Certainly. Editing, self-editing is a huge skill that all authors should embrace. I was very lucky that the first agent I had was very much an editorial agent, meaning she came from editing, professional publishing, and would take 50 pages and do a line edit and then be like, you've learned from this. Don't come back to me until the rest of the book is done like this. That just like, oh, grammar, punctuation, and all of the stuff that you take for granted because you're like, I just want to tell a story. All of the stuff that might limit you from being seen as a professional. That was a huge deal. The Essentials of Style. There are a couple other books that are, that every author should read through at least once. Be like, oh yeah. If I'd have gone through an MFA program, they'd have hammered this into me.
Sure.
So what?
Beyond that, I felt fairly lucky. I mean, obviously, one of the way authors are, you know, the one of the notes that a lot of authors starting out get is to make sure your characters all sound different. Having come from an acting point of view and a screenwriting point of view, one of the ways I look at a book when I do that, maybe not even in the first draft, but when I go back through, is I try to break down each character as an actor might if they were reading a screenplay for the first time, and to make sure that each one had clues that an actor would say, oh, not only do I want to play this, but I can see a couple mannerisms, and I can kind of get their whole game of who they are if just by these few actions. So I try to go through and make sure that everyone speaks differently and everyone feels differently, and that they feel like real people.
Sure. So what writing advice would you offer for listeners who are writing their own stories or novels or even screenplays?
I would definitely say do yourself the favor and never reject yourself. I mean, unless you're writing, you know, Mein Kampf, go out and show it to people when you're ready. Go ahead and let the world turn you down rather than turning yourself down. Because I think definitely as a screenwriter, I definitely kind of walked that line of like, oh, I don't want to show it to them yet, you know. But at some point, that's the whole point, is you're going to share your writing and someone else has to take it. So don't limit yourself by saying no to yourself. I mean, you know, obviously be a good judge and be realistic. And then when people do give you the gift of notes, that is people you trust, when you go to you find these mentors, established authors who will agree to beta read, listen to their notes, even if they hurt you, you know, like if 7 out of 10 people say something, it's a great note.
That's good advice. So are you working on another novel now?
Well, my wife and I just welcomed our first child into the world about 4 months ago. So yes, I'm working on the next Caitlin Bergman project, as well as a standalone thriller. But the amount of work I accomplish is, it's relative. Let's just say I'm really enjoying being a father right now.
That's great. So what novels or nonfiction books have you read recently that you enjoyed?
Novels or nonfiction?
Yes.
Right now, I literally have to either look at my bookshelf or I'm beta reading a standalone novel by Edwin Hill, who is a great thriller crime fiction author. I'm reading Black Top Wasteland by S.A. Cosby. A nonfiction book that I tend to pick up more than once is Six Drinks That Changed the World. And I'm forgetting the author's name. I've got a stack of, you know, your reading list changes once publication happens because you meet all of these other authors. And so I have crime fiction. I'm James Ziskin, one of his Ella Stone mysteries. I've got one of those on the stack. It's a mix. And then if I'm trying to sort of clear myself between projects, I will pick up something classic like a Ross McDonald and try to just kind of recenter myself. I read The Kill Club by Wendy Herd, the personal favorite of mine. Rachel Hazel Hall's And Then There Were None. So I've got a list. Believe me.
Where can people find you online if they'd like to learn more about you and your novels?
The best way to find me is augustnorman.com. That will link to my social media profiles. I hang out on Facebook and Instagram, not so much Twitter. I'm not great at it, and I'll be the first to admit that. But the best way to find out about what's going on with my stuff, as well as to sign up for giveaways and things like that, would be to join my email list at augustnorman.com.
Great. Well, again, we've been speaking with August Norman, author of the new novel, Sins of the Mother. The novel is available now, so go buy a copy. And August, thanks for doing this interview.
Thanks so much for having me, Jeff.
Great.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.